Hi there, and welcome to Gems of Wisdom. Today, our theme is Seeking the Sacred, and I'm your host, Teresa Marone, and I am here with my co-host, Lauren Santer of Bridget's Place. St. Bridget left a powerful legacy of love, charity, and compassion as she saw in each person the face of the divine. The stories that we're going to share with you today and every week celebrate all religions, all communities, and spirituality of all kinds. These are the gems of wisdom. Now, the mission statement of Bridget's Place is to share stories as God transforms the hearts, minds, and lives of women today. And on that note, I'd like you to join me in welcoming my co-host, Lauren Santer.
Thank you, Teresa. I'm so glad to be here today.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, I just will share with the listeners a little bit. This is my first year on the board of Bridget's Place, and I've been so uplifted and so excited and empowered by seeing all the wonderful things that are going on under the heading of events and discussions and things that are just like everyday miracles. But as executive director, what would you like for people to know just as a general overview of the mission of Bridget's Place in Houston, Texas?
Sure. You know, it is really a wonderful community of diverse women that are just seeking to explore how the divine shows up in our everyday lives. And our mission is to provide education and dialogue and celebrations that foster the personal and spiritual transformation of women. And we have all kinds of different offerings throughout the year that women can come and join in on, and men too, for some of our events, to really, you know, seek personal transformation and just to have a community where you can experience love and joy and celebrate and the goodness that life has to offer, and to celebrate God's love among us. And it really is just amazing, amazing community. And you know, I'm excited to co-host the show with you and talk about all the stories and the lives that truly have been transformed in the community, and to see what this year will bring. I think it's going to be an exciting year together.
Oh, I know that it is. And our format, I'll just share with our listeners so you know what to expect not only today but every week, is that we always have an inspirational guest. And today, our guest is Monette Chilson. You're going to really enjoy what she has to say. Her life goal is seeking the sacred, hence the name of our episode this week. But every week, we will also be sharing with you a gem of wisdom, and that will be brought to you by Lauren, because Lauren has a point of view that has been tempered through many experiences and also many scholarly pursuits. Lauren is a highly educated young lady, and she'll be sharing with us a gem of the week, and I'm really looking forward to that. Lauren, would you like to get into that before we bring our guest, Monette Chilson, on?
Absolutely. I would love to do that. And, you know, I think it has just been a day that has illuminated our gem of the day today, indeed. And I really felt called to talk about surrender today. So what an exciting, you know, thought and word and gem to discuss as we share this time together today. And I really wanted to talk about surrender because you know, Monette is going to be talking about her path of yoga, and I have had my own path with yoga, and she loves to talk about yoga both on and off the mat, and I think that's a great topic of discussion. And so I looked up a couple of definitions for surrender, and I found one to be really fascinating, and I loved this: to agree to stop fighting, resisting, because you know that you will not succeed. And I thought that was such a great definition of surrender. You know, I don't know about you, Teresa, but that is a hard thing for me to do sometimes. And, you know, I am a pretty feisty redhead. If you see my picture anywhere, you will know that I'm a redhead, and I always say, you know, God, you know who you created me to be, and then you ask me to do these spiritual practices like surrender and have patience and all this stuff, and I don't understand. And so I wanted to talk about, you know, what does this mean in our lives? And I wanted to couple it with the idea of waiting. And I think those two things go together so beautifully as we think about surrender and waiting. And I found this definition for waiting, which I thought was really profound. And it says, to be available or in a state of readiness. And so, you know, I think a lot of times we think about waiting as passive or just not doing anything. But really, I think waiting in our lives is really oftentimes a state of preparation. It's a time of preparation. And so when we couple, this concept of stop fighting maybe what's going on in your life or, you know, what you're resisting, and then putting that together with being available to what might be coming, I thought those concepts were really great. And one of my favorite deep thinkers in life is Henry Nouwen, and he is just a beautiful writer. And he talked about waiting on God, and he says this. He says, in our personal lives, waiting is not a very popular pastime. Waiting is not something we anticipate or experience with great joy and gladness. In fact, most of us consider waiting a waste of time. Perhaps this is because the culture in which we live is basically saying, get going, do something. Show you are able to make a difference. Don't just sit there and wait. And so for us and for many people, waiting is a dry desert between where we are and where we want to be. We do not enjoy such a place. We want to move out of it and do something worthwhile. So I don't know, you know, how does that strike you, Teresa? Do you feel that way about waiting? Do you feel like, oh, man, I'm not doing anything?
You know, I know exactly what you're trying to impart, that the idea of waiting on something implies kind of that you're doing something wrong. You know, there's a negative connotation there. But the things that have happened to me today, and like you said, I feel like our listeners are going to get that when they tune into our show, that the gem of the day probably is going to synchronize with what they've experienced. And I just want to say that sometimes waiting should be followed by the words, until the time is right. And that's what I feel is going on in my life today. I have been waiting on lots of things and sometimes frustrated, but until the time is right, because when you push it or you force it, it doesn't usually work out, does it, Lauren?
No, it really, you know, it really just doesn't. And, you know, I love that concept of just stop that fighting, stop that resisting, you know, surrender to what needs to be right now. And, you know, I've had so many times where I've tried to take a yoga class, a physical yoga class, and this hasn't worked out for me. And, you know, I think a lot of people really have this idea of, oh, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could bend my body that way, or I wish I could, you know, lean over or put my head down near my feet or something, you know. And sometimes, you know, that's great, and sometimes you just need to, you know, put your arm above your head, or sometimes you need to lie down and just take some breaths, you know. And I found a great yoga class on my house where half the time we just laugh, you know. We just try to do what the teacher does, and then we all laugh about it, you know, because it's just just not in that space yet, you know. And it's such a wonderful community of women to be in, to be able to laugh at life, you know, and to say, I'm just not there today. You know, I sure wish I were, but I'm not there today. And so, you know, I really just encourage those that are listening that, you know, you can surrender to where you are right now, and just know that what you need will come to you, you know. You don't have to fight everything so hard. And that oftentimes when we stop that fighting, you know, it allows the grace, I think, of God and the grace of the divine to kind of come into our lives and fill in those gaps of really what we need. And so you know, I really love the liturgical year of the church and all the seasons, and we are entering into Lent in the church now, and so this is a great time of waiting and surrendering and thinking about what will life be bringing to us.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting, and I can't wait to hear about, you know, what Annette has to offer us today.
I know. We need to bring her in. So, Lauren, thank you so much for the gem of the day. That was beautiful. Now, our guest today, Monette Chilton, I'm going to let her tell her own story in her own way and let you get to know her. But I will share with you on her website, she says that the three words that sum her up and the motivation behind just about everything she does in life is seeking the sacred. So she is the guest star of our show, and that's why we have this theme and this name of our show today. So, Monette, are you with us?
I am with you, Teresa.
Thank you so much for being our guest today. And did you have anything? I know you must have been just jumping at the bit to respond to Lauren's gem of the day on surrender and waiting with the yoga references. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Oh, you know, we are so on the same page. When I was listening to Lauren, you're right, I was wanting to chime in because that is what she said definitely echoes my experience with yoga. And I think one of the reasons yoga became such a spiritual tool for me is because it was maybe the only place that I found in our fast-paced world where actually backing off and surrendering was the way to make progress. And it was so against everything that our culture tells us. But sometimes to move deeper into a pose instead of pushing, I had to release. And just seeing that in a physical way work gave me, I guess, the spiritual courage to try that with other things. So for me, a lot of yoga is this metaphor, this way, you know, sometimes we're so busy in our lives that we need a physical way to get into those spiritual truths. And surrender is definitely a huge lesson that I've learned on my mat.
Well, I was really drawn to, I'm drawn to a lot of things about you, Monette. Let's just take a couple, two or three, let's start with your book, Sophia Rising, Awakening Your Sacred Wisdom Through Yoga. Now, that's got to just stop you in your tracks and wonder, okay, I want to awaken my sacred wisdom through yoga. Tell me about your inspiration for writing the book.
Okay. You know, this book was a long time coming for me. I'm kind of a marinator. You know, I don't have the idea, spit it out, it's done. I sat with this idea for years and years from the time that I started doing yoga and, like I said, was very intertwined with my spiritual path. As I had grown up in a Christian environment, kind of left the church, did my own thing, and as I started coming back to the church, I wanted to find a way to weave my yoga practice together with my faith, and there really wasn't a guide out there, or there wasn't even anyone saying, yeah, you can do that, it's okay. In fact, there were a lot of voices out there saying, oh no, yoga and Christianity don't mix, but that wasn't what my inner voice was telling me. So it was kind of, for me, cathartic, and it gave me the ability to put words to what I knew was my spiritual truth. And for me, God is so beyond gender, and I needed to find a way to connect with the feminine parts of God, but I wanted to do that in my faith tradition. And when I came upon the concept of Sophia, which is Greek for wisdom and is a biblical reference, that resonated with me. And I knew that had to be a part of the book. So what the book really does, it's, you know, people will say, oh, is it going to teach me how to do yoga? I said, no, it's not going to teach you those physical postures, you know, that we may or may not be able to do, but what it's going to do is give you a space to open yourself up and see who God is to you. And for me, when you go to church, you kind of get, you get a lot of valuable things, but you get someone else's idea of who God is and other people's interpretations. And my book kind of walks you through how meditation, yoga, and some of those practices that are seen as Eastern are not necessarily associated with Christianity, actually bring you into a space that deepens a faith, whether it be Christian or Jewish or Muslim or, you know, any other faith tradition. So I wanted to make yoga accessible to people of all faith traditions and let them know that they could use it for benefits that went beyond the physical and not be nervous about that or think they were doing something wrong.
Well, you know, what Lauren was saying is that when you're in a state of waiting and in a state of readiness, you can actually be in a state of allowing. And I noticed something that you wrote, the still, quiet voice that you can either heed or ignore, and that you have the choice in every moment. This is something that you wrote on your website.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you'd like to speak to our listeners just a little bit about that concept, because if you're not in a quiet mind or if you're not in a state of awakening your sacred wisdom, do you feel that it's possible to miss a moment? I mean, if all things in the universe are meant to be, is it possible to miss a moment?
It's possible to go through a moment without an awareness of it. I mean, we're not actually literally going to miss it. But Lauren and I actually just heard a speaker last week at a Bridget's Place event, and she gave us some really concrete ways to embody a moment, because sometimes all of us in our lives are so busy, we don't clue in on that beautiful red crimson of the leaf or that smell that was in the air on that first day of spring. And she gave us some tips just to take 10 seconds, because apparently it takes 10 seconds for something to imprint on your brain, and to take 10 seconds on the to absorb the sensory experience. To me, that was a way that sounded like what I do with my mindful practice, to not miss those moments, to make them rich and deep and sacred. And I think that whole, you know, seeking the sacred and that we have a choice to heed that voice within or not, I think it's all something that is already there. You know, we have so many stories in our world, in our culture, in all cultures, that have that tale of going out to seek something and then you find out that it's really within. I mean, from The Wizard of Oz, you know, The Alchemist, all these fables and legends. And I think the thing is to remember is that it's really there anyway. It's not that we have to go out and seek. And that's, but, you know, there's no magic to people say, well, you know, how do I sit in meditation? What's the best way? And I say over and over again, there's not a best way, a right way, a magic way. It's just being still enough that you can connect with what is already there, what God already put inside each of us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I know that a lot of our listeners are going to want to connect with you, Monette, and your book, Sophia Rising. So you have a blog too, don't you, where you write about some of the things that you that you're perusing and your input from the amazing point of view that you have as a writer and a photographer and, you know, a completely artistic being. What would you say is the absolute focus of your blog? Are you trying to inform, to teach, to just process?
A lot of it is processing. I have a blog post that I've written that hasn't been posted yet that is, it's a pondering. Most of my blog posts are ponderings of the season we're in or an experience that happened to me but is universal and other people can relate to, and what does that look like? Where do you find that nugget of spiritual truth in that experience? And I really try not to be one of those, you know, there's that phenomenon with social media where you have the perfect life and people look at your blog or your feed and they say, oh, I couldn't be that perfect. I'm not that person at all. I share, you know, things that go wrong and struggles. And right now I'm thinking about, you know, as Lauren said, we're entering the season of Lent. I'm thinking about what that looks like for me and thinking about instead of giving up a thing, I'm thinking about very much like Lauren's wisdom today about surrendering. And if you don't mind, I have a prayer that I'm going to use for Lent that is a Thomas Keating prayer. And I'm using it in that blog post. Do you mind, Teresa, if I read this?
Oh, I would love to hear it. And I think it is absolutely appropriate for our show today.
Okay, this is very much a prayer of surrender, and I'm going to use this every day during Lent, so I'm going to read this. And it's Thomas Keating, and it's called Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and God's action within. Amen.
Oh, that was beautiful, Nanette. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And that's something that we can all listen to over and over through this next special time of year, because we'll be living in the archives.
That's right.
Yeah, so I'm glad we went ahead and got that in our show today. Now, I wanted to change gears. I have two more things I want to talk to you about in our interview today, Nanette. First of all, I noticed that most of your Lentspiration that you, as you call your photography, mm-hmm. is your point of view with things in nature, animals, flowers, sunsets, beautiful things. But just to give our listeners an idea, I mean, anyone can pick up a camera and anyone can learn to use it. But I'm noticing a theme in your pictures, and I'm wondering if I'm seeing what you want me to see. Is there a particular point of view that you have with your pictures that you're looking for or that inspires you?
For me, it's very much of when I walk by something and it catches my attention and it stops me and takes me out of my busy, busy monkey mind, I look at it and I look at it from several perspectives and then I stop and capture it. And for me, it's almost a meditation. And before iPhones, you know, I would carry around, I was religious about carrying around my little point and shoot, and I had it in a water protective bag because sometimes, you know, I would wander out into a creek or a stream trying to get a good look at something. But really, it started just as almost a meditation for me. And I do have to, there's a tension between, especially as things have gotten more shareable on social media, I have to be aware of, am I missing a moment because I'm so intent on capturing it? So that's a tension that I want to
be. Oh, I like that. I like that very much.
I mean, that's huge for us now, I think. So I do try not to lose the moment by trying to capture it, but just appreciate it and capture it if I can and share it, you know, with other people. So that's
well,
what I do with it.
Let me share with you what I see.
Yeah.
I see everything that you're inspired by as being in the motion of life. It's bursting forth mm-hmm. life. It's all God. It's all nature. It's all things that are created beyond our ability to, you know, mold or manipulate or control. But everything that you are shooting is actually in the motion of being alive. It's amazing when I'm looking at it.
Mm.
It's all in motion, even if slow motion, like the burst of a pomegranate bloom.
Uh-huh. Lots of blooming. You're right, Teresa. Sometimes you're so in your own work, you don't see the patterns. So I appreciate you pointing that out because that's true.
Well, I appreciate seeing your art.
I have
one more thing that I wanted to ask you, and this isn't a trick question. You are not on the spot, but I'm going to ask, Lauren and I are just getting started as our host and co-host relationship here, and we're still trying to work out what we want. But I wanted to start with you as our first guest in our new format with asking you the question, how has Bridget's Place touched your heart, your life, your mind? What difference, what transformation, what one snapshot of your time within the umbrella of Bridget's Place has changed your life that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Little macro context, I'd say, it's the mirroring of the divine feminine, because any other worship, spiritual setting I'm in, tends to have a patriarchal feel, even if it's lovely and, touching. So it's that feminine space where all things feminine are mirrored back and appreciated and seen as divine. And specifically, probably there were some interfaith dinners. The women of the Pink Iftar did them with Bridget's Place, and they were in the homes of different Muslim women. And I went to one, and it was very intimate. I'd say there were 10 of us maybe 12, a small group, and we just had we went on until, 11 o'clock at night, and we had such a great experience getting to know each other and asking those questions about what makes our faiths different, that we ended up having some kind of impromptu get-togethers. We had one at my house that just extended out from that formal introduction. And I'm pretty passionate about crossing those faith lines and dialogue. And so that was a wonderful introduction for me and a way for me to make connections and keep those connections after the, official event was over.
Well, thank you so much for that inspiration. And if you're just joining us, this is Gems of Wisdom. And our guest star today is Monette Chilson, and she just shared with us several of her wise and wisdom moments. And Monette, I wanted to thank you very much for being on the show today.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thanks for having me, Teresa.
Yes, and I look forward to seeing more of your inspiration in the future.
All right.
Okay, so Lauren, weren't you, didn't that really just speak to the mission statement that we're putting together for the board this year of really becoming more diverse, entering more communities, trying to become educated and to educate in many different theaters, both in Houston and beyond?
Yes, absolutely. Monette has just been such a blessing, and she has been such a great part of Bridget's Place community, both this year and, before I came on staff at Bridget's Place. And, we've worked on a couple of great projects together this year. She helped us with a wonderful authors event in the fall, the Beautiful Words of for Women event, which was just a great author event. And then she's been putting together a series with me this month, Awakening Your Inner Wisdom. And she's actually going to be leading a session Friday for that. So if you're listening and interested in coming to hear her talk longer, she's going to be great with that. And I just look forward to, more partnerships with her in the future. She's an incredibly wonderful author in person and just has so much wisdom herself and knowledge, and is indicative of the kind of women that are part of Bridget's Place, so many wonderful women. And so, I think it's such a great community, like I said, and I think that there are so many more women we want to invite and hope will come and find their place at Bridget's Place, because there is room for everyone in their faith journey and their story, and, you know, want to just envelop them in love. So it's going to be a great year.
Yes, it's going to be a year of surrender and waiting, right, Lauren?
Yes, and glory. My word for the year is glorious.
And glory, glorious. Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, thank you, Lauren. I think that our show today was fabulous. We want to send out a thank you to everyone who's listening now and in the archives, and we want to make sure that you can contact us at gemsofwisdom.us for information about our show, or just go straight to bridgetsplace.org. And that's Bridget with a G, Bridget with an S, place.org. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.